live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports. Now, here's your host, Matt Kolsky.
Come on!
Hello, and a happy pre-dawn to everybody. It's Thursday. Always exciting when it's Thursday, first of all, more than halfway through the week. Past the hump, over the hump day. We also get Thursday night football, and today we also get Warriors basketball.
The Warriors did a great job.
Should be a good one tonight at Oracle as the Milwaukee Bucks come to town. They've been one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference to this point. They look a lot better this year under the new coach, Mike Budenholzer. Going to get deep into all of that later on in the program. Before that, though, the Giants introduced a new general manager. Well, no, that's not right. A new president of baseball operations yesterday. Farhan Zaidi is his name. He, if you're not aware, comes from the Los Angeles Dodgers, where he was the general manager under Andrew Friedman. Before that, the assistant GM with the Oakland Athletics, third in command behind Billy Beane and David Forst. His last few years with the A's were their last playoff run, the 12, 13, 14 years. And now he's in charge of operations on the baseball side with the Giants. And first of all, I think this is a good hire. I mean, bottom line, thumbs up on the Farhan Zaidi hire. The Giants set out to get someone who was the, they said, next gen, new school baseball guy, that sort of stuff. Someone who can combine the analytics with the old school approach. Analytics plus scouting. Don't ignore the feel of the game, et cetera, et cetera. And Zaidi is that guy. He's been that guy his whole career. He got into this through the stat side, but he has been noted throughout his career for scouting accomplishments and for working well with scouting departments. And obviously, if you look at what's happened with the Dodgers, look, they were winning when he got there, but he has maintained and even increased the level to which they were winning as general manager. And I think if you just look up and down the roster, the depth that they have developed with the Dodgers is considerable and impressive. So he checks all the boxes for what the Giants were looking for. He is the description they gave for who they were looking for. It was it's a good move. 415 Tech says, hate the blue, but recruit from within them. Sure, it's all business, but where's the pride? What? Are you supposed to not hire the best candidate because he worked for a team that you don't like? That's silly. That's a silly, silly idea. The fact of the matter is they went and they hired the guy they thought was best for the job. I was kind of hoping they'd hire Kim Ng, but if I'm honest, I don't know the difference. You know, that's not, that could sound the wrong way. Let me be clear. I don't know who would be better at running baseball operations. For all I know, they may still hire Kim Ng as the general manager, because I do believe Zaidi is expected to hire a general manager. But none of that to me is, we'll answer those questions, but they're not the big questions. The big questions are well, the biggest is what's the plan? And I don't expect Farhan Zaidi to show up at his opening press conference and have a fully developed plan, but that's what he's got to do in the next month. The winter meetings for baseball are about a month away. And that means Farhan Zaidi has about a month to evaluate what he's got, to look at the farm system, to figure out what he wants to do, broadly speaking, what the direction of this franchise is. And then the immediate next question, the sort of related question to that, is Bryce Harper / Manny Machado. Now, Zaidi will have a good idea of how he feels about Manny Machado after spending the last few months of the season with him on the Dodgers. So he'll be able to tell you what he thinks of Machado. I'm sure everybody has pretty positive feelings about Bryce Harper, but the question is not so much how good are those guys, because we know they're very good. The question is how good are the Giants? And are they in a place where going after someone like Harper or Machado makes sense? And look, if you ask me, I think there's a good chance, and in fact, it is my opinion that the way to rebuild the Giants at this point is to really rebuild. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be terrible for 4 years like the Astros were or the White Sox are, because you're not a poor franchise. There's no reason the Giants need to get that bad, but do they need to sacrifice some names you know and love to find a way to get some younger talent to rebuild their farm system, to start sort of from the foundation and get this thing on steady ground again? I think they do. And one of the nice things about taking over managing, that's confusing in baseball, taking over the front office management of a baseball team that's lost 187 games over 2 years is that you don't have to mince words about rebuilding. You can admit that, yes, in fact, we are rebuilding. And that was one of the first things Farhan Zaidi said at his introductory press conference.
There's a lot of use of the term rebuilding across professional sports. The way I see it in baseball, baseball is very different from the NFL or the NBA. Those are sports where you can hit the lottery in the draft and have one player who can turn around a franchise. And baseball is about the entire 25-man roster. And no one player and no one move is going to turn the fate of a franchise around. It takes hard work and it takes humility, taking one step forward at a time, making one good baseball move after another. And I really feel like that's how we're going to get where we hope and intend to go.
One good baseball move after another. It's easy to say, obviously, but look, one big baseball move or good baseball move after another is what he's really saying is it's slow and steady. We're going to take a slow approach. There is no one killer move to resurrect a team that's lost almost 190 games in two seasons. And obviously, when he starts talking that way, someone was bound to ask him about trading Madison Bumgarner, who at this point I think is clearly the guy on the roster with the most trade value. And to his credit, Zaidi gave a nice, measured answer to that question.
Look, I understand the question, and, the last time I was going through this kind of interview job transition process was in 2014, and I was in the Oakland airport watching the end of the 2014 World Series, and I saw Madison, you know, finish off that superhuman effort in that last game. I mean, it's funny, I remember at the time thinking, you know, I'm working with the A's, I may be going to the Dodgers, two Giants rivals, and I can't help but, as a baseball hat fan, have such an appreciation for what this team and this guy have just done. So, you know, he's been, you know, a seminal pillar of this franchise for a long time, and that carries a lot of weight. And at the same time, this is kind of day one for me. You know, I'm eager to get opinions from a wide range of people on what they think makes sense in terms of a broader direction. And I think where we are, everything's got to be on the table in terms of how we move this team and roster forward.
It's the perfect answer about Madison Bumgarner if you want honesty from your general manager. If you don't care about honesty, and again, president, whatever you want to call him, if you don't care about honesty, it would have been fine for Farhan Zaidi to say, I love Mad Bum, we expect to have him on the field. But the reality is, he doesn't know yet, but he must realize that Madison Bumgarner is the most valuable asset on the roster today. And as he put it, he'd be crazy to rule out doing something with his most valuable asset. So what does he say? He says, not only do I know Madison Bumgarner's good, here's a specific experience I have remembering how incredible he is. I know he's great. I know how much he means to the franchise and the city, but we stink. So I can't rule anything out. To me, if I'm a Giants fan, that's exactly the sort of measured response I want to hear. That he doesn't feel like he has to promise the fans he's keeping Madison Bumgarner, but he also knows what Madison Bumgarner means and is worth. I thought overall a very impressive first press conference. Very impressive. And I also thought it was interesting to hear Dave Fleming yesterday on our very own morning show here, Joe Lowe and Dibs. And there were a couple of things Fleming said that jumped out to me. Dave, of course, voice of the Giants and many, many other things. A real talent. And look, Dave Fleming knows more about how the Giants are thinking than you or I. And I think he also has a pretty good feel on where the fans are at. And one of the things that's been said a lot around this team is, well, can the Giants afford to rebuild? Because the fans are so attached to Buster Posey, to Brandon Crawford, to Brandon Belt, to Madison Bumgarner. Can a team that counts on filling that park every night afford to trade away fan favorites? Well, Dave Fleming says yes.
They are 100% ready for, not, you know, that would be too harsh to say the end of this era, because our fans love our players and love what they've given to the Giants, but they are 100% ready for a turnover, because, you know, what the Giants have done the last 2.5 years hasn't worked, and the fans recognize that. They're not dummies. So I think everybody's ready for a fresh start. That does not mean a Astros-level purge where you're left with nothing on the major league team and you're losing 110 games. That is not what is going to happen here, and that's not what has to happen. But turnover will happen on the front office side, on the player side, and our fans are ready for that.
If you're the Astros and you don't have cash burning holes in your pockets, when you tear it down, you got to really tear it down. When you're the Giants, the hope is you could tear it down and pretty immediately rebuild, because you've got the financial wherewithal to do that. It's just right now, with the money you're spending on, frankly, you're overpaying the current team, and that makes it kind of impossible to keep building it. And I think that is the main takeaway here, is this is a rebuild, not a 6-year plan rebuild, but a rebuild nonetheless. The next winning version of the Giants is going to have different players on it. And if you ask Dave Fleming, Bryce Harper is not going to be one of those players.
I think what Zaidi will do and what the Giants organization will do here going forward is be totally focused on winning a championship, not just kind of, you know, we got to be competitive. I think now the Giants are ready. Let's do what we can do to get back to that parade mode. And to me, the guess would be that they're not quite ready to commit to a Harper or a Machado just yet.
They're not ready. The roster's not in the place it has to be. And here's one more thought on that. It comes from an article by Alex Pavlovich. And remember, Fleming and Pavlovich, they know this team. They're on the inside. They have sources. Here's what Pavlovich says. Sources familiar with the Giants' thinking said any interest in Harper has been overblown. Quote, we're shocked, end quote, by some of the rumors, one person said, noting that Harper would have to really, really want to come to San Francisco and pass on more lucrative opportunities elsewhere. That is the Giants' organization, via Alex Pavlovich, setting you up to accept the fact that Bryce Harper's not going to be a Giant. So that's what Farhan Zaidi means. It means a more measured approach. It means relax. And it means in a couple of years, I think this thing's going to be pointed back in the right direction. I think this is a good hire. I think Giants fans should be happy about it. I am happy about tonight's action at Oracle Arena. One of the most interesting and exciting young players, one of the most talented and successful so far this year, young teams paying a visit. Bucks at Dubs. We discuss it next. I'm Matt Kolsky. This is the pregame show.
It's a marquee matchup at Oracle. Kevin Durant and the Warriors take on the Greek Freak and the Milwaukee Bucks.
Downstairs to Durant. Durant with it. Back to Curry. Fades into a three. Splash!
Coverage starts tonight at 6. Tip off at 7:30 on the home of the NBA champs, 95.7. The Game.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Matt Kolsky.
We are back. I didn't tell you, Steven, so there's no way you could have known, but I had a funny idea for the music cue to lead into the Milwaukee Bucks segment. It was, I'm going to spoil it. It was the, you know, the theme song to that 70s show? And at the end, they're like, "Oh, Wisconsin!" That was it. It's too late now. This is the pregame show presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar. Coffee, meet, and greet with product experts. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com for dates and more information. Or if you're lazy with your fingers, here's a date, November 13th. Here's more information. California Cascade with AZEK and TimberTech experts. Pastries, coffee, manufacturer reps, 7 a.m., 1080 Burnett Ave, Concord, California, November 13th. That's some more information for you right now. GoldenStateLumber.com, you can get even more. And I was planning on cutting the plastic sheeting for my planter boxes yesterday, and I failed. I'm behind on my to-do list, but I still expect to get rolling this weekend, Steven. Don't look at me like that.
You don't need any help from me?
No, I certainly don't. Certainly not from the likes of you. So tonight at Oracle Arena, I think this might be, I realize they've already lost. I realize there were a couple tough ones in there. This might be the toughest game yet for the Warriors. Not only do they get a tough opponent in the Milwaukee Bucks, who, I mean, they took their worst loss, I think, just the other day in Portland, where they were trailing most of that game. But I watched that game and I thought that was just a case of the Blazers playing exceptional basketball. I mean, particularly CJ McCollum, who I think finished with 40 in that game. The Bucks, generally speaking, have looked as good as anyone in the NBA up to this point. Certainly Giannis has been unbelievable, and he had another just ridiculous few dunks last night.
Okay. Oh, he caught a body.
Yeah, caught another body last night. And it's not just that. It's the fact that the Warriors are going to do it without Draymond Green. And boy, when you're playing one of the most talented big wings in the NBA, you'd sure like to have Draymond Green out there to defend that guy. No question about it. He is, as Steve Kerr said, the best defender in the league. And here's what Kerr had to say to Damon about Draymond yesterday.
This is a game where Draymond would shine. He would be asked to guard pretty much everybody on the floor. So we're going to miss him. He's doing all right. He had a good day today. We're hopeful that this clears up pretty quickly and he doesn't miss too much time, which would be great for us because he has been fantastic. I think he's more focused, more excited about this season. His defense has been off the charts. I know you've heard him talk about wanting to win Defensive Player of the Year. Last year, it seemed like he was more just in treading water mode, waiting for the playoffs. And this year, he's come out of the gates a lot hotter.
I just love how the Warriors say that stuff. Yeah, you know, Draymond was really treading water last year. You're not supposed to say that stuff, really. But they always have. And they set the tone at the very top with that. Joe Lacob says stuff you shouldn't say all the time. Hashtag light years. And it filters on down. Bob Myers talks way too much. I love it. Don't get me wrong. I'm in favor. Talk away, Warriors. But I think there's a lot of professional sports franchises that would think they're crazy. I think it's great. I'm all for transparency. And yeah, Draymond looked like he was saving himself for the playoffs last year, and it does not look that way this year. I think you could say that about the Warriors in general. They took that approach last season, I think in part because Steve Kerr set them up to take that approach. From the beginning of last season, and he's talked about this, from the beginning of last season, Kerr talked a ton about the grind, about the effects of a third straight, well, potentially, what, a fourth straight year of going to the finals. It's going to be a grind. It's going to be tough. This will be the biggest challenge yet. All that stuff. Don't get bogged down. Sometimes you never have the idea to get bogged down until someone suggests it to you. And I think that's kind of what happened with the Warriors last year, and Draymond was definitely part of that. So, in any event, Draymond out tonight, which is especially impactful in a year where Draymond's playing so well, and even more of a big deal when you're playing against a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo. Now, if you don't know what that means, here's what Steve Kerr can tell you.
Sometimes he does stuff that sort of shocks you, you know, how explosive and quick he is to the basket and how far he'll take off a drive where anybody else would try to lay the ball in, and he's just extending that arm and dunking it. It's incredible. Stretching the floor out quite a bit. They're a little bit like Houston in terms of their intent. They're trying to play fast and trying to shoot a ton of threes. The difference is they get a lot of ball movement before they attack you. So they spread the floor, they run some good action, and they're very difficult to guard.
All right, there's two big things to be aware of for tonight's game based on what Steve Kerr just talked about. The first is obviously just the dude, Giannis Antetokounmpo. He is a basketball alien. He doesn't make physical sense. The size, the length of his arms, and his strides. That was one of the interesting things the Portland announcer pointed out while I was watching that game. Was just the way he strides, it sometimes seems like he must have traveled, but then you watch the replay and it's just two big old steps. And Kerr mentioned it right at the beginning of that cut. Let's hear it again.
Sometimes he does stuff that sort of shocks you, you know, how explosive and quick he is to the basket and how far he'll take off a drive where anybody else would try to lay the ball in, and he's just extending that arm.
He just dunks all of a sudden. It's remarkable. And if you haven't watched him, I can't strongly enough recommend watching tonight's game. The stuff he does, and he's developed a lot more skill. I mean, the question mark for Giannis is still the shot. And, you know, it's one of these scenarios where you say stuff like, if he develops a consistent shot, look out, because how will you stop him at that point? And just to be clear, we're saying that about a guy who's shooting 54% from the field. It's really just the distance shot. He can dunk almost anything from within about 8 feet. The length of his strides, and he also has developed such good movement without the ball, and also moves with the ball, both in the post and off the dribble. He's too quick for his size, too tall for his skill level. He's truly a remarkable player. Right now, 25.8 points, 13.3 rebounds, 5.9 assists per game. And he's just a marvel to watch. And tonight, he's going to be squaring off with Kevin Durant, which, as Steve Kerr noted, will be a lot of fun.
Those two are the headliners. That matchup will definitely happen. There'll be plenty of cross matches and switches and all that, but there's no doubt you'll see plenty of Giannis and Kevin going at it. And they are absolutely two of the most unique players I've ever seen, both incredibly skilled. So it's going to be fun.
Possibly the two most skilled seven-footers of all time going face-to-face tonight at Oracle Arena. No shade to Kareem or Hakeem. But I think those are the two most skilled sevens. They are certainly the two seven-footers who can play most like a guard. And look, Giannis is not quite like KD in that respect. Nobody is or ever will be. But he's close in terms of the handle, in terms of the ability to attack from outside, in terms of the ability to post up smaller players and use that size on offense. Nowhere near the shooter Kevin Durant is, but a lot of the other skills that are just so crazy to see with that level of size. But what's interesting about the Bucks is they've been the Giannis show for several years now. And yes, he's improving game to game. He's better than ever right now. But the bigger change for this year's Bucks, it's not the improvement of Antetokounmpo. It is not minor additions to the roster like Ersan Ilyasova or Dante DiVincenzo. I think it's actually a guy who pretty much isn't on the floor except when he steps out of the coach's box. And that's what I want to talk about next. I actually think coaching is the biggest difference for the Bucks. I'm Matt Kolsky. This is the Pregame Show.
First, it was the Say Hey Kid.
What a catch by Willie Mays.
Then, the Home Run King.
It's a deep. It is.
Will Bryce Harper be the next Giants legend? Keep it locked on the Bay Area Sports Station, 95.7. The Game.
Now, back to the Pregame Show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Matt Kolsky.
We are back. Let it run, Steven. You know, talking coaching, this is the best I could come up with. He mentions the coach. I guess he's demanding the coach.
Yeah, he's a little needy, isn't he?
He doesn't really think the coach is.
Coach?
Yeah.
Play your role, John Fogerty.
True story. See, this is what happens when you start thinking about yourself instead of the team. You know, we lose credence and we got dumb songs about baseball. It's a team game, John Fogerty. Forget you. Never mind putting you in. How about we get a win for the team? Ugh, selfish. See, this is the kind of selfish attitude that seeped into the Warriors locker room last year and derailed everything. Thanks for nothing, John Fogerty. All right, turn this garbage off. I'm sorry I ever asked you to play it. This is the Pregame Show presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee meet and greet with product experts. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com for dates and more information. That's GoldenStateLumber.com. John Fogerty, straight out of Alameda. Did you know that? Yeah, you'd think he's from the South with that accent he's got. Nope. South side of Alameda, maybe. Anyway, enough about John Fogerty. I played that dumb song or asked Steven to because I wanted to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks coaching. And I feel like the NBA coaching conversations we have are well established. Oh, would you look at Brad Stevens? How good is he? Oh, man, Greg Popovich. He should be president. Steve Kerr. I think he's good. Nah, he's good. He's just got a lot of talent, too. Right? Those are pretty much what you hear. And then anytime another coach comes up, it's bad news. It's bad news for that coach. I guess Spoelstra is another guy that occasionally gets good press for no particular reason. But for the most part, when you hear about NBA coaches who are not in the top four or five coaches in the league, it's bad stuff. And I just think we got to think for a second. We got to take a step back and try to remember. Mike Budenholzer was in that group 5 years ago. Four years? Whenever it was that it was 2014-15. That year, he was the coach of the Atlanta Hawks. Now, Budenholzer's been coaching the Hawks the last couple years as they've been tearing the thing apart. As they sold, the team was sold, they had no front office for a while, there was all sorts of problems. And then Travis Schlenk headed down there and started completely tearing it down. And so he hasn't had a lot of wins the last couple years, but I think we've forgotten how valuable this guy is as a coach. What Mike Budenholzer can do with decent talent. Because in 2014-15, Atlanta won 60 games. 60 games. That's a ton of games. Who do you think was the best player on that team? No one else is in the room, so I'll ask you, Steven. Who was the best player on the 2014-15 60-win Atlanta Hawks?
No idea.
I'd say it was probably Paul Millsap. He was the leading scorer. if you had to guess, the leading scorer of the Atlanta team that won 60 games and went to the conference finals, how many points do you think Paul Millsap was scoring? 16.7 points for their best player. Next highest points per game average, let's see, was Jeff Teague with 15.9, then Al Horford with 15, then Korver, then Carroll. But here's the key. Six different guys averaged in double digits. And a team where, you know, Al Horford or Paul Millsap was the best player, depending on your preference. That team won 60 games and sent four guys to the All-Star game. Kyle Korver and Jeff Teague were All-Stars playing under Mike Budenholzer. Think about that for a second. I mean, I like Kyle Korver. Jeff Teague is all right. But All-Stars? As the third and fourth All-Stars from the Hawks? That had to happen because the Hawks had won like 40 of their first 45 games. They were rolling. And a huge part of that is coaching. The success of, on a normal team, the third or fourth through 10th guys on the roster. On the Warriors, it's more like the 7th through 12th guys. The success of those guys, coaching has a huge role in that. And if we're just going to compare this Bucks team to that Hawks team, the talent in Milwaukee is a lot better. And I'm not sure the Eastern Conference overall is a lot better than it was in 2014-15. It's, you know, LeBron's gone. Some other teams are better. But it's about the same overall as a conference, which is to say not very good. What I'm saying is I think 60 wins should be the target for this Bucks team, the way they're playing, the way they are coached. And you can see the difference in style very clearly. They're moving faster. They're playing a smarter defensive system. And they're much more focused on threes. And dunks, but threes specifically. They've also got a really good collection of mostly young talent. Obviously, Giannis is the center of that. Interesting question from the text line that I'll get to in a second about Giannis. But behind him, it's interesting because the star power after Giannis is essentially zero on this Bucks team. People don't care about Chris Middleton, but maybe they should. I hear all the time when people are talking about either Jimmy Butler or Klay Thompson, you always hear, man, he's one of the top two-way two guards in the league. I know I just said the number two a lot of times, but there's sort of this top tier of two-way two guards. It's beautiful alliteration. You're welcome. And it's Jimmy Butler and Klay Thompson, and I'm not disputing that. Jimmy Butler and Klay Thompson are, in fact, the two best two-way two guards in the tootin' NBA. But Chris Middleton is not that far behind. He really is not. And he's younger than those guys, I think. Yeah, 27. 27 years old, plays both ways, scoring just under 20 points a game. And so far, hitting 48% of his three-point shots. 48% to this point. And look, one of the consequences of having someone who creates as much distraction and draws as much attention as Giannis is guys like Chris Middleton get a lot of open looks. Malcolm Brogdon, sort of the point guard version of Chris Middleton. Super solid, plays both ways. High percentage three-point shooter, 42% so far this season, and just smart and sound. Eric Bledsoe, a little more out of control, not the shooter those guys are, but explosive athletically and very good defender. That's a great point from a 408. Fantasy basketball players do care about Middleton and Bledsoe. That's accurate. That's true. You should care about Brogdon, too. It's a nice guy to fill out the bench. And all this without mentioning Brook Lopez, who is shooting the three with pretty remarkable success. And look, he's not a great rebounder, but he is a big body to play some interior defense. He's a legit 7'1", 7'2", and he can block shots, still blocking shots, despite playing a lot more on the perimeter. 1.7 blocks a game for Brook Lopez. So this is and that's before mentioning all the depth that fills out the roster. Ersan Ilyasova, impact role player. Dante DiVincenzo, looking really sharp in a lot of ways as a rookie. Impressive athlete. Hasn't shot the ball as well from three as he will. Tony Snell, high-level defender. John Henson, long, active, rebounding big. This is a deep team that's really well coached, that has a star who's capable of being the best player on the court any given night, no matter who he's playing against, and a great new coach. This is a big game tonight, and it's a tough matchup, particularly with Draymond Green sidelined. And the guy I would love to see start, the guy I would just love to see get that opportunity, is Alphonso McKinney. Now, I think it's more likely to be Jordan Bell or Kevon Looney in the starting lineup. But if it was me, I'm starting McKinney because if you think about it, yes, Bell is probably a little longer. Looney's definitely bigger, but not as athletic as either of the other two. And if you're going to have to try to guard Giannis, you are going to need both quickness and athleticism. Now, KD is going to have to do it, but I actually think Alphonso McKinney is as well-suited to attempt to stick with Antetokounmpo as anybody. He's nearly as big as Jordan Bell and nearly as athletic. He certainly moves a lot better than Kevon Looney, although Loon does a great job of keeping guys in front of him. It's no shade to him. I would just love to see McKinney get that opportunity, plus throw him in the starting lineup. You get to sort of preserve some of the rest of your rotation. Now, I don't know if that's the decision that will be made. As I said, I think it's more likely that Jordan Bell gets the start. But Steve Kerr, when he was on yesterday with Damon, did talk about what a great story and, frankly, contributor McKinney has been for the Warriors so far.
He has fit in perfectly. He's picked everything up really quickly, too. I mean, he's so much better now than he was at training camp because he's a really smart player and he's figuring out everything that we're trying to accomplish. And he seems to get better and better. So we're so lucky to have him. We hadn't anticipated this kind of play from him, but it's been huge with no McCaw and then obviously Sean and Andre, you know, kind of being in and out of the lineup. We've absolutely needed Alphonso in a big way.
Yeah, and Sean remains out. Andre returning tonight, but Draymond out, so that's more minutes on the wing available for Alphonso McKinney. This is a huge game for pretty much everybody who plays the three or the four, because everybody's going to get a turn on the Greek Freak. Alphonso McKinney, Jordan Bell, Kevon Looney, Andre Iguodala, probably even Jonas Jerebko at some point. As a 310 texter says, Warriors will be mixing it up with a physical Bucks squad that will try to slow it down. They got to run all game. They got to run all game, and they got to throw bodies at Giannis. That is what tonight's going to be about, and it's a big test for everybody who plays one of those forward positions. That's just a fact. Giannis is going to test everybody. And I'm excited to watch it. A question from a texter. If you had to pick between these two to start your franchise today, who are you picking? Giannis or Anthony Davis? This is probably, if we're talking star power, talking about the sort of future top five of the NBA. This is an interesting debate that I think is probably not for this show, but is a good basketball debate to have somewhere. Is who are the five best players in the NBA? Let me rephrase. Who are the next five best players in the NBA? And the list that doesn't include anyone who's top three right now. I'm making LeBron, KD, Steph the top three. I think Davis is probably in there, actually. But for the sake of argument, let's call today's top five. Let's say it's LeBron, KD, Steph, Harden, and, I don't know, Westbrook. I think an interesting debate is who's that next five. And clearly Anthony Davis is in there. Maybe what I'm really asking is 25 and under? Next five best players, 25 and under, maybe, is the better way to ask the question. But I think undoubtedly the top spot on that list is a debate between these two guys right now. We may see dudes who come into the league over the next couple years. After what I watched on Tuesday night, I'm not ruling Zion Williamson or RJ Barrett out of this discussion. But in terms of guys who are in the league right now, in terms of who's going to be the best player in the league 5 years from now, I think that's the debate. It's Giannis and it's AD. And it's tough. I think if they were the same age, in other words, if Giannis was 25 right now, as Davis is, I think I might take, you know what? I think I'm taking Davis regardless. I think I'm taking Davis regardless. The argument for Giannis is he's younger, he's still developing, and I guess he's more versatile. But is he? I don't know. You couldn't go wrong either way. I mean, in Davis, you're talking about a guy whose natural position is more power forward center, whereas Giannis seems to be a super oversized wing player. But I mean, what's the difference between a super talented and highly skilled big versus a super big and highly skilled wing? It's almost six of one, a half dozen of the other, and you couldn't go wrong either way. And I can't wait to watch those guys fight over MVP awards for the next 5 or 10 years. Because that's the really incredible thing about a guy like Giannis is it seems like he's been in the league forever. And he kind of has. This is his sixth year. And he's 23. He turns 24 in a month, but still. In your five full years of NBA experience, man. As a 925 texter points out, Giannis needs work on his jumper. AD is a more reliable scorer. Yeah, I mean, that's true. Which is why I would say the argument for Giannis is that he's a couple years younger, year and a half younger. But I mean, by the way, he's not having a lot of trouble scoring. Scoring hasn't been a big problem for Giannis. But certainly right now, Davis can score in more ways, I would say. He can score in more ways. He just, in general, I think his skills are more elite in more areas right now, Anthony Davis. He's a, you know, it's better free throw shooter most of the time. So, they're little things. You got to find the little things to give one of them the edge over the other. But, boy, they're both a lot of fun to watch. A lot of fun to watch. And I'm excited to watch it tonight. Speaking of tonight, managed to have a lot of Warrior conversation without ever mentioning Steph Curry. Also, more Warrior conversation throughout the day. Greg Papa with Joe Lowe and Dibs at 8:30. Gary St. Jean, the one and only Saint, with the Afternoon Delight. Also, Mark Spears at 2 o'clock with Papa and Bonte. So, lots of hoop talk leading up to hoop tonight on the home of your Golden State Warriors, 95.7 The Game. But Steph Curry, who we have yet to mention today, I have written down on my notes, my list of things to discuss, Steph stats from Steve. Steve, you got Steph stats?
I got Steph stats. I also got a Steph drop.
Curry!
Hey! All right.
And a creaky chair. That was the chair, wasn't it?
That was actually my microphone moving.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, I was adjusting it.
No, it's all right.
And so, which one do you want to start out with? I think I'll give you like the kind of average sort of regular statistics. Like,
yeah, give me the rundown. Bunch,
but the first ones are going to be more like sort of advanced at first.
Oh, give me some advanced stats.
All right. So you want the true shooting percentage of Steph?
Okay.
Okay. Well, let me just name the two guards below him that have played the same amount of minutes and the same amount of games.
Okay.
Dame Lillard.
Yeah.
His true shooting percentage is 621.
Whew. That's
Kyle
high.
Lowry, his 632.
Oh, those guys are playing great.
Steph, 700.
Curry! So, okay. 620.
620.
630.
For Dame Lillard. 630 for Lowry.
And 680.
And 680 is like, see, this is the thing with true shooting percentage is they use like a lot of centers and power forwards because they don't really take any, you know, low percentage shots.
Right. So true shooting percentage factors in the three-pointer being worth more.
Three-pointer, free throws, and of course the two-pointer.
Right. So it's essentially a reflection of how efficient you are as a scorer.
Yes.
And the point is, he's wildly more efficient than any other guard in the entire NBA.
The fact that he is making pretty much 70% of any shots that he's taking combined is unbelievable. That's his true shooting percentage. It's the true.
You know what's going to be interesting? Can Steph shoot 50% from three for the whole season?
I mean,
I kind of think he can.
I'm getting to that in a little bit.
Okay. All right. What's next?
All right. So we have player efficiency rating. This is pretty much a good barometer for just how good a player is right now. And so a runaway MVP candidate technically has a rating of 30 to 35. A strong MVP candidate has a rating of 27 to 30. Okay. Steph's rating right now is 30.4. So, technically, he'd be a runaway MVP candidate if the season ended right now.
He'd have to be. I think he's playing better than anybody else. I don't know if he'd be the MVP right now, but I think through 11 games, Steph Curry has been the best player in the NBA. And I'm not even really sure it's close. I think there's an argument to be made that Kevin Durant's been the second best.
And
Anthony Davis probably actually is the one in there.
That's what I was getting to. KD is second with 28.
There you go. So KD is second.
Top two Warriors. Yep.
In the entire league.
In the entire
league.
And
that's the John Hollinger.
Mm-hmm. And then we go to offensive box.
What is it? Do we have Anthony Davis's PER?
I'll check
that. You give me the next stat.
Offensive box plus minus.
Oh, geez. All right, now you're confusing us.
We'll start at Dame. He has 8.2. We'll go to Kemba Walker. He has 9.1. Steph, he leads the entire NBA with 11. And box plus minus is basically you're scoring 11 points more per 100 possessions than anyone in the NBA.
All right, so tell me if I'm interpreting this correctly, Stephen, as we have Steph stats from Steve to end the program today. The point of these Steph stats is to reflect that it's not just that Steph is playing great, or that Steph has been the best guard in the NBA. It's that he is so much better than every other guard in the NBA right now that it's like Gretzky-esque number discrepancies.
Exactly.
We're in Wayne Gretzky territory right now. And you know, you don't get a lot of it around here. I have the angry Draymond Green guy on the text line who is around here and thinks Draymond Green stinks. That you'll get occasionally. You don't get a lot of the Steph haters around here. All right, for good reason. He's Steph Curry.
The Warriors did a great job.
And he's done things for you. But that does happen around the country. I mean, there are people in the country who pretend they know things about basketball, who will say stuff like, well, you know, that team wasn't really great till KD got there. Steph is good, but not great. There's no way Steph should have two MVPs. And just that keep in mind, he's still playing like the best player in the league 2 years after his second MVP, which, by the way, was unanimous. People want to rewrite history on that. Oh, did he even deserve it? Every single person thought he deserved it. Every single person involved in voting thought he was the best candidate. So let's not go revisionist history on that. And right now, he's playing as well as he ever has. Absolutely as well as he ever has. That player efficiency rating Steven just gave, Anthony Davis's is 24.86. Steph's 30. Best in the league. And look, those stats aren't perfect, but they're pretty close.
And it's also worth mentioning that in that unanimous MVP season, his numbers through the first 11 games this season are practically identical to the ones through 10 games in that season.
I'm keeping an eye on that three-point shooting percentage. I really think he has a chance to go 50% for the year. I really do. Steve Garvey coming up in 30 minutes with Joe Lowe and Dibs. I think it's Joe, Dibs, and Coes today. Am I right? All right. Those three gentlemen join you in a matter of seconds.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.